session number 20603, Reel 4.
Fred Glasspool, Reel 4. So if you did see a soldier with a civilian girl, what would you be expected to do?
Well, the instructions were that we should arrest people, but generally they were our own mates, and so we generally warned them off. I don't remember any patrol I was on where we actually arrested somebody. But I think this order about fraternisation died a natural death after a short while.
And after Germany, did you... I think you went to the Far East.
Yes. Well, I didn't get to the Far East, but what happened, the regiment was broken up. And so a number of the younger men were selected to carry on the campaign in the Far East. And I was sent back to a camp at Bury St Edmunds, and there I joined the 1st Gloucestershire Hussars, and we were told that we would be getting the new Churchill tank, which was called the Black Prince, very much heavily armoured and a larger gun. This was a little bit of a cock and bull story, because when I go to the tank museum at Bovington, I find there were only four of them produced, and one of them is the one that is in the tank museum. So what we were going to be provided with when we got out to the Far East, I do not know. We went from the Clyde on a troop ship, and we went through the Med, or we went into the Med, and just after we'd gone through the Straits of Gibraltar, the atom bomb had been dropped. And so there was a hasty move on board our troop ship, and it was decided that instead of going to the Far East, we were going to finish up at Taranto in Italy. And so the regiment that I was with then landed in Taranto, and we then went right the way through, up through Italy, into Austria. We went into a village called Judenburg, and from there we were provided with armoured cars. And frequently we were called on to do patrols with these armoured cars along the boundaries of the British and the Russian sectors that the country had been divided into. Here I found the Russian soldiers, our counterparts, very unpredictable. One day you could stroll across into their province and be welcomed and even given a glass of wine to drink, and another day they would shoo you off as though you were their greatest enemy. They were very unreliable. But it was our job there, because we still had great fears of the Russians, to maintain that borderline. Whilst I was in Austria, the idea was to get a number of us to train so that if war did break out with the Russians, that some of us knew how to use skis. So I was sent the winter there up to a school called Gabelhaus, and we had a couple of Austrian instructors. One of them had actually taken part in the Olympic Games some years prior to that, and we were taught to ski. During the spring we were then taken doing a little bit of mountaineering, once again with Austrian guides, and whenever it was necessary they would rope us up. And this was my life then until I actually got demobbed. But when people talk about the dropping of the atom bomb, and are very often very critical of the fact that the two of them were dropped, I always say, well, thank goodness, because I had no wish whatsoever to start another war with the Japanese. and it stopped me from having to go there. But
had you thought that war might break out with Russia at that time when you were in Austria?
I suppose there was always the doubt about it. Although I think you'll find that most of us realise that both armies, the Americans who had covered so much ground, and the Russians, were virtually exhausted armies. I don't know that we were really expecting it to happen, but we did rather expect that there might be little conflicts on those patrols. And yet at that same time we had men who were members of the Red Cross would come through that area, and they would go into those parts of Austria which were controlled by the Russians, and they seemed to be able to travel around the Red Cross people quite freely, and they never seemed to bring any great alarm or worries back to us when they came and talked to us. So no, I don't think there was any very serious fear. I think a lot of it was Reds under the beds, things that the media created to a certain extent.
What were relations like with Austrian civilians?
The Austrians quite good, particularly in the skiing schools. I was very keen on playing chess at that particular time, and one of the skiing instructors was also a chess man, and we used to spend hours doing that. The local population we got on quite well with. After a while, I went into Graz and joined the army printing unit there. They were printing a magazine for the troops, and I came in contact there with a lot of civilians, and the very fact that we could walk around with press flags on our uniform, we were able to go to quite a lot of the shows. I'm also interested in opera, a certain amount of opera, and so I was able to go to the opera houses and that sort of thing without even paying, pretending I was going in on a press ticket.
Were you doing a job with the army printing unit?
Yes, just for that very short while. They had run out of people with printing knowledge. And, of course, I was well into my apprenticeship in the printing trade at that time. And they'd taken over this printing press in Graz. And they used to do quite an interesting booklet that was sent around to the troops in that area. Mainly one division used to supply quite a lot of the stuff that we used to print. And you see, at that particular time, the war, both wars had finished. The war in Europe, war in the Far East, and the army suddenly became very interested in education and rehabilitation. And so, any one of us that mentioned the fact that there was a trade and there was something that we could go to, we all took up correspondence courses and things like that. I did one with the City and Guild, and got my City Guild examinations for the printing trade whilst I was still doing it by correspondence.
You said earlier that you didn't want promotion. Why was that?
I don't know. I felt I was just one of the boys. Rather strange this, because I was very, very friendly with a bloke called Johnny Oakley, and I've been in contact with him since the war years, but of course he's since passed on. And the two of us were always in the same troop. We were always together, and neither one of us seemed to be very keen on promotion. And the troop officer came to us whilst we were in Normandy, and he said, "Oh, both of you are Lance Corporals." And that started it. And we said, "Oh no, we're refusing to do it." And he gave us a little lecture on the fact that promotion on the field, you were not allowed to refuse. Now, I've never ever checked up with any military people as to whether that was true, but he convinced us, and so we were then wearing the tapes.
What did you think of the quality of the infantry units you cooperated with?
We got on very, very well with the regiments. When you realise that the 31st and 34th Tank Brigades supported every British infantry division that was out in Normandy, they supported the Canadians, and we at one time in Holland supported the American, an American troop. But generally, they were not envious of us being in tanks. And we as tank men, being trained as tank men, weren't envious of them being on the ground. So training most probably influenced that. They hated it if they ever had to ride in the tanks. And that was done on a number of small occasions.
Why was that?
Well, just to get them forward, there wasn't a lot of action taking place. And although the Churchill tank was slow, if we could use roads, we could be doing 15 mile an hour. And that was faster than an infantryman could walk. And so very often we shipped men up when there wasn't a lot of enemy action taking place, you see.
But why did they hate it?
I don't know. They just didn't like being on the tanks. And of course, mainly they had to ride, and a number of them had to ride on the engine compartment at the back of the tank behind the turret. And so I suppose if there was enemy fire about, they were just a little bit, feeling a little bit vulnerable. At least we had armour around us.
What was the reasoning behind your dislike of being an infantryman?
Well, I could never picture myself sort of meeting up with a German man to man and having to kill him off somehow. Perhaps I've got a bit of a soft centre, perhaps. It was easier for me to do it from behind armour than it would have been actually walking forward with a rifle in my hand.
How do you feel now about having served in the RTR in the Second World War?
Very pleased that I went. Now, people can't quite always understand that I would never have wanted it to have been any different. I served in frontline battle tanks, and that's where I would have wanted to be. I wouldn't wanted to have been with the echelon. Now, that is not running the soft vehicle people down, because I saw men bring a three-tonner up where there was still mortars falling, and they would be full of petrol or explosive ammunition, might even only be food supplies, but they would be coming up and provisioning us with all sorts of things. And some of those men were a darn sight braver than we were actually in those main frontline tanks. But yes, I wouldn't have wanted it to have been any other way. At that particular time, a young man had to be involved in some way or the other. And so, yes, I would have wanted to go. I didn't enjoy it all. But I met some very, very good companions, and I'm still in contact with many, many of them. So there's a lot to be gained from it.
Did you suffer any after effects of the war?
Not really. It didn't take me long to get back into the printing trade, because, of course, they were looking for people when I first got demobbed. And I went to Aylesbury and worked for a printing firm there for quite some while. And it didn't take me very long to get settled down. I mentioned when I talked about show that I have a great difficulty. I just can't really talk about those things. And on odd occasions through my life, I've had a disturbed sleep. I've found myself waking up shouting for somebody to come and give me a hand, that sort of thing. But over the years, it's got less and less. And only when I've sat down, and I don't normally sit down and talk about the experiences. Only then, sometimes, has it happened again. But it's not a very frequent thing. And people say I should get it off my chest, and then it will go. But whether I will or not, I don't.
And that's the nightmares are particularly connected with show.
With show, yes. Yes.